come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got him on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Want to get no punch. Close intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. That guy over here is Lance Meadow with you for the next 1 hour to talk some NFL and New York Giants football. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number. Talk some Giants football for the next hour. It'll be a lot of your calls today, folks. Not a lot of guests, so get on the line. We'll get you in early and often. And I thought, Lance, that this, considering we haven't hosted together in a while, I was off last week. You're going to be off next week, so it's going to be a while since we host again together. I thought it would be a
nice
good time.
Nice to see you, by the way.
How are you?
Yes, I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
Now, what's your big-time assignment next week that you can't grace us with your presence?
Well, there's a big volleyball match in the Midwest that they have called me to be on assignment for, as you know. So I pick apart it more so than you.
Well, in fairness, I figured it's around spring break time again.
Absolutely, yes.
This is rock, scissors, papers competition season.
It is
I
that
thought
season,
maybe you get
yes.
the, you would get sent back down to Florida for a little for a little RSR.
Well, we're trying to mix it up, vary the
RSP,
resume a little.
Excuse me,
RSP,
yes.
Yes, you have to have the terminology down pat. So we figured we go the volleyball venue, maybe a little tennis. Those are the types of avenues we're exploring.
Now, you're actually doing the high school basketball
tournament,
right?
Yes, we are,
right?
Indeed.
Okay, very
yes.
good. The Jordan All-American game. Anyway, so we've had about 3 weeks, I say, at free agency, give or take, Lance.
About.
And, we take a look at where the Giants are right now. And we talked about their needs the first 2 months. Everyone knows what they are. We're not going to review them again. But to me, the one spot where I'm pretty happy with how the Giants satisfied their needs specifically is their run defense. I think they've taken some nice strides with the additions they made at linebacker, JT Thomas, Jonathan Casillas, but more importantly, what they've done on the defensive line, adding George Selvey, a very solid guy that can play that left end spot and stop the run, and also Kenrick Ellis, a big, bulky defensive tackle that can help stop the run. I think the Giants have done a lot to help themselves in one huge area of need coming off last season.
Well, I would agree, and coming into the offseason, John, that was the biggest area of concern. If you look at the numbers last year, the Giants did struggle against the run in terms of total yardage that they gave up on the ground, as well as yardage per carry. So if you notice some of the trends that took place over free agency, as you just named a number of the players, those players fit that type of a need. And Selvey, whose numbers jump off the page in terms of sacks, especially the last 2 years when he was with the Cowboys, 10 sacks.
2 years ago specifically.
2 years ago. But last year, obviously, tried to pick up where he left off. Number of other players that they rotated within the defensive line. But you can tell that they're trying to fill those holes and get guys that are very aggressive in stopping the run. And Selvey, like some other pass rushers, and we always talked about this with respect to Justin Tuck, John. When you look at Tuck's numbers, if you hadn't watched him play, you'd think about this is a guy that gets to the quarterback. That's how the style of play that you would describe him. Selvey, you'd describe him that way, but at the same time, he does a good job stopping the run, just like a guy like Kenrick Ellis, who is certainly a big fella, though everybody here in the organization is big compared to me, so I'm not necessarily the best guy from a judgment standpoint.
I did not watch the video yet. Was it you that got a chance to interview Kenrick Ellis?
No, I did Selvey.
Listen,
Selvey towered over me as well. It's not much of a
most
difference.
People do. But your interview with Jeff Schwartz last offseason was still the highlight of my year.
Correct. Oh, I'm sure. People still talk about that. The fact that he couldn't fit into the chair and I looked like I was quite comfortable. So
it was,
a huge disparity.
It was basically like an adult bouncing a toddler on his knee during the interview.
Basically, I should have actually done the interview on his honest eyes, that would have been something.
That would have been something.
Indeed.
And at the linebacker position, you get John Beeson, hopefully healthy this year. He'll be a big help stopping the run of the linebacker spot. Devon Kennard in his second year, you hope he makes some more progress. A veteran in Jameel McClain. And then you got a guy like JT Thomas. I know a lot of Giant fans, scrunched their eyes a little bit and was like, I don't know if I get that signing. Well, here's why JT Thomas makes sense. He's a fast, athletic linebacker. Who can run sideline to sideline, and he can play all three linebacker positions. So not only can he back up John Beeson, he can also move over and play that weak side linebacker spot to provide some speed and tackling ability, and he should help bolster that front seven as well.
And he also plays special teams, so I think there's value from that standpoint. And let's face it, when you sign a free agent in this day and age, John, with only 53 spots on the roster, I want to bring in players that have versatility, that I can put everywhere. I mean, we're talking about also Dwayne Harris, who's not necessarily a defensive player, but he has the potential to contribute as a wide receiver. You know what he could do as a return man. He also could be a gunner. If you're going to invest in a player like that across the board, not just the special teams player, I want to know that if somebody else goes down via injury, I can throw him in and he could be comfortable. And I think a number of players that they brought in via free agency can be described as sort of a jack of all trades. Now, getting back to JT Thomas, who you brought up, he's got starting experience. He has experience also coming off the bench. He has special teams experience. And let's not forget, if you go back to his college days in West Virginia, you know, they also moved him around at the linebacker spot. And it's not as if he's been in the league for 10 years. So you can still at least go back to his college resume. That, to me, is a player that will fit well into how the Giants have utilized players before.
And he's still a young man, too. He's only in his mid-20s, so a lot of room to grow. And Jonathan Casillas plays some starting linebacker as well with the Patriots, but primarily a core special teams player. But he'll have an opportunity to compete for a starting linebacker spot here with JT Thomas. I'm sure one of the reasons he did want to come here and become a member of the Giants. So let's take on the defensive side of the ball, Lance, and move out to the secondary. And this is where the Giants haven't made quite as many moves. Anchorol departs, signs with the Chicago Bears. At cornerback, Walter Thurman departs, signs with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants do bring back Shockey Brown, corner by trade, but Tom Coughlin said at the owner meetings, maybe he could play safety a little bit. So right now at safety, you have Shockey Brown. Also talk about Bennett Jackson coming off that knee injury. They hope he can contribute to safety as well. We'll see how healthy he is and whether or not he can do that. Then you have Cooper Taylor, and you have Nat Burhe. So a fairly inexperienced group back there, and I'll call Shockey Brown inexperienced just because he hasn't played safety a whole lot. He does have plenty of NFL experience at cornerback. So I wouldn't be surprised if another veteran at some point gets added there, and I wouldn't be shocked if they do something in the draft at safety as well. But that is a place where they still seem, and Tom Coughlin said at the owner meetings, that where they still need to try to get a little bit better.
Well, from a numbers standpoint, it would surprise me if they didn't bring in more bodies to at least compete at that safety spot, because as you mentioned, by trade, not including Shockey Brown, you have two guys, and that is Cooper Taylor and Nat Burhe. One player is coming off an injury history. The other player is young. Didn't get a lot of starting experience.
And I should mention, by the way, Thomas Gordon, who was on the practice squad last year, an undrafted free agent, I believe out of Michigan, if memory serves.
I think he is back.
He is back as well, so he'll be in the mix.
And speaking of that, Tom Coughlin also referenced about the practice squad a guy like Dominique Hamilton, who they just upgraded from the practice squad. That's referring to the defensive line. So they have brought guys within the system. They have undrafted players, a good track record in that department. Who knows? We could see one of these unknown commodities, one of these unsung heroes develop. And I understand that concerns Giants fans to a certain degree, but as I've brought up on this program a number of times, John, you know, we were talking about the tight end position at this time last
year,
which was an unknown, and Larry Dinnell was on the roster, he was on the practice squad, he took advantage of his opportunities. It could very well come to fruition within the secondary. Going back to a player that you brought up, Shockey Brown, you know, don't forget, even though he doesn't have a great deal of experience at safety, he does come from a system that Steve Spagnuolo is used to, because he was with the Ravens before he came to the Giants. So, you know, perhaps Spags, even when he was with Baltimore, envisioned, okay, you know, Shockey Brown could be utilized in multiple positions. Now down the road, they're reunited with the Giants. He has a little bit more experience, at least working with him, both in and out of the classroom.
Well, he's a defensive backs coach there, so he should know his skill set for sure. And it's interesting, and not a lot of people have talked about this, but once you move past Prince Mukamara and Dominic Rodgers-Camardi, right, you have Tremaine McBride, but in his 2 years with the Giants, he's played well when he's healthy, but he's had some injury issues his first 2 years with the Giants. So the question now, can you align him to be your slot corner? And as you know, Lance, slot corner right now is basically a starting position in the NFL. They're going to play more than 50% of the snaps on defense, closer to 70 to 75% of the snaps. So right now, who's the Giants slot corner? I think in one way, shape, or form, they're going to have to add another player or two into the mix. I'm not saying they have to be a starter or a big money player, but they need some more depth there to help that competition at the corner spot as we move along in this offseason.
Well, last year you had Walter Thurman, who they brought in as a free agent. Unfortunately, he went down in week two, and then Tremaine McBride was his backup. Then McBride gets thrown into a starting role with, obviously, Walter Thurman going down, and then McBride obviously was banged up with injuries of his own. So you would like to see perhaps a few other players step up, and it could be a player, John, that is used to playing on the outside. I think once again, this gets back to the whole versatility element with respect to this roster, how you want to have a lot of players that can play multiple positions. And while it may not appear that you want to move somebody who's more familiar with playing on the outside, I'm sure the Giants during the course of training camp at OTAs are at least going to experiment, because there's a lot of depth at corner on the roster. There was depth at corner last year, and I think to a certain degree they have similar depth now. If you take one player, you move him to safety, obviously that eats into your depth. But, you know, this is going to be one of the intriguing storylines. What do you do with perhaps some of the outside corners who you think you can maybe mold into other positions?
And you have other young corners that are on the roster as well. Remember, veteran Zach Bowman has not been re-signed. He's still an unrestricted free agent. We mentioned Shockey Brown has been brought back. Chandler Fenner is an exclusive rights free agent, so odds are he's going to be back with the team. Mike Harris was a restricted free agent. He's another young guy that the Giants like, played well late in the year. He's a younger veteran, not a rookie. He's a fourth-year guy. Chandler Fenner, a third-year guy, so they've been around a little bit. So the Giants hope that some of these guys they added at the end of last year can help at corner, and they'll be given the opportunity right now. They're right there, so they'll have the chance to play a little bit. And Josh Victorian, a third-year player at Louisiana Tech, I believe he was one of those guys that they signed after the year to futures contracts, if I'm not mistaken.
And another guy I'll throw out, John, and speaking of stepping up, Jayron Hosley. Still in the mix on that rookie contract.
Good point.
And you talked about the slot corner position. Well, that to me is the best guy to compete with Tremaine McBride. He knows the system. Obviously, he was suspended part of last season's, dealt with some injuries. But, you know, this could be his year with an opportunity staring right in front of him.
Do you consider pass rush still a need on this roster?
I think you have enough of a mix between your defensive tackles and your defensive ends. Remember, Robert Ayers is still on the roster. You know, we tend to forget about him.
And he was great the first
absolutely,
half of last year.
Until he got hurt that torn pectoral muscle, just like Walter Thurman. You brought in George Selvey. Demontre Moore, I thought, took a step in the right direction last season. Tom Coughlin mentioned at the league meetings they still want more consistency out of him in terms of stopping the run as well. So how he improves in that category will determine his type of playing time. And you have JPP. So, you know,
And Kerry Wynn.
That's another guy that you tend to overlook who also shined late in last season. So that's five defensive ends, John, who I think bring a little bit of something to the table that you can mix and match there.
And Hankins inside gets to the quarterback as well. So I agree. I don't think there's a huge need for pass rush. You can always get better. You can never have enough pass rushers the same way you can never have enough cornerbacks. But I do think that they're pretty well stocked there. And offensively, very quickly, we'll get to your calls in just a second, at 201-939-4513. On offense, the running back position, I think, is pretty fully stocked. We've talked about maybe trying to add a younger two-way player at the tight end spot. I think Daniel Fells is a good veteran that can fill that role. And Larry Donnell, we already mentioned, is improving a little bit. But at wide receiver in the offensive line, I still think you're trying to find that fifth star in the offensive line. There's a good chance it's in-house. We'll see. But I think you'd like to add some more competition to that spot, whether it's a guard or tackle. The flexibility helps you in that spot. Then a wide receiver, you just don't know about Victor Cruz.
And Tom Coughlin did address that at the league meeting, said that he's progressing. He's been working out at the facility. Tom Coughlin's been monitoring him. But, you know, with that being said, John, the concern about Victor Cruz, you know, and you asked the same question with respect to the defensive ends. Don't you feel, though, with some of the moves they've made and some of the guys on the practice squad who were brought up, that there's at least, in terms of a numbers game, competition? Because remember, Marcus Harris is coming back. You know, that's a player that I think has a great opportunity.
Dwayne Harris.
You have Dwayne Harris, Corey Washington. You have Kevin Ogletree, who was re-signed. So, you know, even if Victor Cruz is not ready to go right at the early stages of training camp, I think you have enough guys who are familiar with the system coming into their second year with the offense that perhaps they would be able to at least provide some competition.
Well, here's the question I ask callers. Were you happy with the explosiveness of the passing in the last three or four games of last year when Beckham and Randall were your 1 and 2? I think it was good enough. Was it perfect? No, but
numbers jumped
it
off
was
the page.
Certainly good enough. And now, I'm not saying that you can't draft a wide receiver. Or you can, if you have a great, talented guy, you pick him. But I don't think it's an absolute necessity. And as for the offensive line, Lance, I still think the beauty of the situation now, though, is that you don't have to focus on guard or tackle. You just focus on the best guy, and because of the versatility of Schwartz, the potential of moving Pugh around, that you can fit these guys wherever you can, and it gives you a lot of flexibility now when you try to fill out that offensive line.
Yeah, you'd like another Kevin Booth-esque type of offensive lineman if you bring him in. So you're right. You could put him at guard. You could put him in tackle. I think the discussion will start to evolve and change, John, over the next few weeks. depending on what plays out in OTAs, you know, where do they envision putting Jeff Schwartz? Are you going to put him on the left side? Are you going to put him on the right side? Will Justin Pugh take some reps at right guard, perhaps, just to give opportunities to other players? Those two players in particular, I think, change the entire dynamic of the offensive line. Because you figure, okay, Richburg is at least penciled in at center. You know, Beattie's at left tackle. John Jerry's back, but, you know, are you putting him back at right guard? Are you going to compete with other players to see what you can have? And then there's also Brett Jones from the CFL.
And Marshall Newhouse, your swing tackle off the bench, yeah, which also helps you. But, yeah, look, I think Schwartz will wind up at right guard. I think that's where he's most comfortable. And then Pugh can either go from right tackle to left guard if you want to move him. Schwartz can always go out to right tackle, too, if you need him there. So great flexibility. Well, where do you guys want to focus? There's about a few weeks of free agency to go until the draft. Then you have the draft that's almost exactly a month away. It's March 27th. So the draft gets going on, I believe it's April 28th, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's
I think
Thursday.
April 30th is an April 30th through May 2nd.
You're right. It is May 2nd.
You should know. You're going to Chicago. You could tell he looked at his flight plans.
I actually booked the flight 2 days ago. That's how messed
there
up
you
my
go.
Brain
Woo,
is right,
right
now.
Over his head.
Well, I hope I booked it right anyway.
Boy, that'll be an experiment.
Where do you want to go? I will not complain about a couple extra days in Chicago. Yes. I love Chicago, but it stinks that it's not a radio city. I like having the home field advantage with the draft.
Of course. Well, you know, we got to send you out of town, which is never a bad thing for us here at the organizational facility. Anyway, moving on.
I'll be back first thing Friday morning to host with you on Friday afternoon. So it'll be
lovely.
Okay.
201. I spoke too soon.
939-4513. Let's get to your phone calls, guys. Where do you want the Giants to go? Where are the biggest needs? Vic in Florida, you're up first. Vic, what's up?
Good morning, Big Bad John, and good morning, Lance. How are you guys
doing
this morning?
Doing well, Vic.
Doing well.
I got a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
My first question is, in the draft, let's say, for instance, Randy Gregory slides down a bit because of the marijuana situation, and Brandon Scherff is also there. You think the Giants may make a play for Gregory or not?
Well, I think they'll look at Gregory and evaluate him to see if he fits. My worry with Randy Gregory here, Vic, is that he is your traditional 3-4 outside linebacker pass rusher. And his strength is rushing the passer, but he's not big enough to play that 4-3 defensive end spot. So is he going to be able to play, you know, strong side or weak side linebacker in a traditional 4-3 scheme? He's never been asked to do that before. I don't know. The Giants will evaluate that. I'm sure they'll look at him. But that will be a situation, if you do pick him, you're going to be probably asking him to do something that he hasn't done in the past.
Got you. I understand perfectly. Okay, my second question is, and it might be a stupid question, I don't know, but did you guys watch the veteran combine at all?
I did not see any.
Yeah, I did not have an opportunity. I mean, I read online about how a few guys performed, but I didn't have an opportunity to watch all.
Not well,
skills.
By the way.
Yes. No, not many
Has
guys stood out.
Has anybody impressed the Giants staff on the veteran combine or not?
Well, obviously the Giants are not publicly going to let that be known in terms of who they may have been impressed with. Obviously all the teams are on hand to evaluate the talent. Only one player, to my knowledge, to answer your question, Vic, was actually signed via contract.
Who was it?
Arizona, I believe. The Cardinals signed somebody. The name right now is over my head. We'll try to look it up to confirm, but I think the fact that just one player was signed right after that veterans combine, Vic, just goes to show you that not many impressed the entire group of NFL teams.
Ifeanyi Boma.
That was it.
Okay, guys, I got you. I thank you very much for taking my call, and you guys have a great weekend, okay?
You as well,
Vic.
Appreciate that.
And it's amazing. You take a look at some of those numbers at that veterans combine. A guy like Felix Jones, who coming out of college ran a 4.440, and he's running like 4.75. Just shows you. And Felix Jones is still, what, 27, 28 years old? He's not that old, is he? 29?
I don't think he's that old.
He's not 30
yet. Not at all.
And, you know, it's just amazing how.
But
you know,
remember, he's had his fair share of injuries, John.
Right, and he's also put on a lot of weight since he got into the league, too, which certainly is not what you're looking for out of a running back. 201-939-4513. Bobby in Miami. Bobby, you're up next.
Hi, John. Hi, Lance. I love the way you guys said about the pass rush. You know, we have a lot of talent. But the only question I had was two questions, actually. Well, number one was, I mean, as you know, as Steve Sagnol is a defensive coordinator, you can't have enough of pass rush, as we evidenced in Super Bowl 42. But I don't think that. Hopefully, we don't get a top 10 pick next year.
So hopefully,
with the number nine and with the number nine pick, would it be more beneficial? And with JPP being franchise tag, and we don't know his future as well, Would it be more beneficial taking a pass rusher at this point or an offensive lineman? All the mock drafts, I mean, this is just mock drafts, of course, but they always say that it could be Brandon Scherff as a left guard slash, you know. And wouldn't that be too high of a draft pick for picking a guard versus an elite pass rusher?
Well, I'll say this, Bobby. If you're getting a Pro Bowl guard in year one, the equivalent of what Zach Martin did for the Cowboys last year, I don't care where you pick him. It's a good pick. So I'm not worried about, you know, where you're picking and, you know, what position you're picking. But I will say this. When you're picking ninth or anywhere in the draft, there was a great story on Grantland about this a couple days ago. And it really made me start thinking.
That's always dangerous, but anyway.
Yeah, that is very dangerous. Yes. You got to make sure you get the best player available. The worst thing you want to do here is go out there and pass on a guy that's going to be a potential perennial Pro Bowler for a guy that's going to be a good but not great NFL player just because he plays the position you're looking for. So the worst thing the Giants could do, and they're not going to do this, it's not Jerry Reese's way, is lock themselves into a position and say, we need to get this in the draft, and we got to get it in the first round. That's how you hurt yourself long term. That's how you wind up with Cedric Jones like you did in the late 90s when all the other pass rushers get picked before him, and then all of a sudden you're reaching for a guy that maybe is not worth picking in that type of spot. So the Giants are not going to marry themselves to a position. This is truly best player available. And you're right. At number nine, Lance, you have to get a guy that's a game changer. You have to.
Well, look at what Odell Beckham brought to the team last year. So you want to be able to follow the same script. You want an impactful player. Now, if that impactful player is at a position where right now it appears you have great depth, then based on the Giants' model and philosophy, you take that impactful player, and then all that does is you just get stronger at another position because maybe that first-round pick becomes a starter and somebody else who you had penciled in adds to the depth chart. But to answer your question with respect to Brandon Scherff, I think there's enough versatility there as an example of what John brought up with Zach Martin, that if you feel he's an impactful player, then it doesn't matter whether you put him at guard or tackle. The goal is you want return for where you took him in that first round. That's the ultimate goal.
And the only other question I had was, based on what you just said about the best player available, if Kevin White or Amari Cooper fall down to number nine, would it be beneficial because, you know, they're ranked as a top five players? If they one of those two players fall down, would it be beneficial to the Giants just because of Victor Cruz's injury history to draft them over need as well? Because, you know, I don't think we have a good safety draft this year. Would like Kevin White or Amari Cooper be a logical choice as well or an option in the draft as a pick?
Well, Amari Cooper, I think, is in a league of his own, to answer your question, compared to some of the other wide receivers. There's depth at wide receiver, but if Cooper falls to you at nine, which I don't think is going to happen, but let's go with your hypothetical, I think the Giants would have to heavily consider taking him because it gets back to what John was referring to. It's value. It's not here your biggest need. It's about the fact that you have a top talent wide receiver staring at you in the face at number nine. It'd be very difficult to pass up somebody like that.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks so much.
I agree. I think Cooper is the number one wide receiver. If I was to pick somebody as the first wide receiver off the board this year, I would pick Cooper and I wouldn't blink an eye. But some people, a lot of, because of the combine numbers, think Kevin White's right on the same page. And those are the consensus, if there is such a thing in the draft, top two wide receivers that both could go in the top 10. And I know a lot of Giant fans think, you know what, if one of those two guys fall, because not a lot of guys in those top eight are looking for wide receivers, do you have to pick a wide receiver there because the player is that much better? And my answer is always this. If you sit there at nine and you look at either White or Cooper, whichever one of the two theoretically could be there, and you say the grade is a full, you know, row or tier ahead of your next best player, you know what? I think you have to. And I know it might not be great for your needs now, but who knows what your needs are going to be 2 years from now and 3 years from now and 4 years from now. And getting back to the article I talked about, very rarely do drafts make a big impact in year number one. Odell Beckham was a freak show last year. Zach Martin was a freak show last year. You don't see Pro Bowlers out of rookies very often. It doesn't happen. So right now you might not think something's a need, but 2 or 3 years down the road, all of a sudden it is. When the Giants drafted Jason Pierre-Paul, everyone was like, that's not a need. You got Tuck, you got Kiwanuka, you got OC, you got all these guys. But then all of a sudden 3 years later, you know, Kiwanuka is not on the team anymore. OC's not on the team anymore. Tuck's not on the team anymore. Then you're only double-digit pass rusher is Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to draft the best player available, because you don't know where your football team is going to be 2 or 3 years down the road. Who would have thought wide receiver would have been a need last year, back in 2011, when Nixon Cruz are two young wide receivers, both Pro Bowl caliber? Who would have thought you would need Beckham 2 years later? No one could have predicted that.
No, that's a good point, because of injuries and other developments that
you don't know
all of a sudden come to the forefront. And here's the other benefit, John. If you wind up drafting, let's say, Amari Cooper, now you have Cooper on his rookie contract. You have Odell Beckham on a rookie contract. And when I say they're on a rookie contract, there's a few more years left on those rookie contracts. Randall is towards the end of his rookie deal.
Final year coming up.
So,
this year,
you know, this protects yourself in the event that somebody else moves on, similar to Beckham help make up for the loss of Akeem Nicks. So I think when you look at a draft, everybody's thinking about impact immediately, ASAP. But I think when you draft, you also need to think about, hey, how does this put us in a healthy position salary cap-wise for years to come? You have Cooper and Beckham on the books. That's a nice duo in terms of what it does for your salary cap.
I mean, look what having Roddy White and Julio Jones has done for the Falcons. I mean, they've made them a very competitive team year in, year out. So, look, I wouldn't say it's not possible. I'm not going to tell you it's likely either. But, look, if one of those two guys are on the board, the Giants think they're the best player available, Jerry Reese likes taking playmakers. He said as much in his press conferences. If he's there and he thinks he's the best player, he's probably going to take him. That's just the way it goes.
Well, and this also gets back to a lot of Giants fans have brought up the fact that, you know, Eli Manning, we don't know how long his window is and so forth, just from the age perspective, nothing to do with other factors, that you want to give him as many playmakers as possible at this point in his career.
Absolutely.
So that he has the best opportunity to win. Well, you give him Cooper on top of everything else he has. I mean, you were referring to all the numbers that the offense put up late in the season. I think that was more than enough.
Well,
in terms
Shane
of that
Marine
production.
Too.
Correct. So, I mean, at this point, if everybody stays healthy on this offense, if we're to play the hypothetical game, the numbers could be through the roof from an offensive perspective if they are able to build off of what they put out late last season.
And they get more consistent player to the offensive line. The two things you need to do. 201-939-4513. Randy's on Long Island. Randy, you're up next.
Hey, guys. I love the show. First time caller. I've been listening to you guys for quite some time.
Thanks,
absolutely
pal.
Love
appreciate
it.
That. Appreciate it.
All right, I'm giving a quick call because I hear a lot of the Giant callers. I know that, first of all, I agree with you guys 100% with Cooper. I mean, if he's there, you got to take him. I feel like that guy's going to be absolutely explosive this year. But if Sheriff, and this is my opinion, I wanted to know you guys' feedback. If Sheriff is not in the board and Cooper is not in the board, do you just trade down, grab Collins, and then address offensive linemen later in the draft? What do you think?
Oh, you draft Landon Collins or draft Lyle Collins?
Yes.
Landon.
The safety out of Alabama.
I got
Landon.
You. I would consider trading down if you get the right deal, because depending on who's left, I do think you get to a certain point in every draft where there's a slight drop-off in talent. And based on where the Giants are picking, they could be in and around where that small little drop-off takes place. I think that's a possibility. And if they find themselves on the wrong side of that, you know, space, I think trading down wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm not sure how far you would want to trade down. I'm not sure you want to get out of the mid-teens. I don't think you want to go much lower than that, because then you start getting into the danger of not getting as big of an impact player when you pick 9. As Jerry Reese said, you pick high in the draft, you got to take advantage of it. So you don't want to move down too much. But if you can pick up an extra pick and move down a half dozen selections, sort of the mid-teens, and then I think Landon Collins, maybe he would be a solution there. But I think at 15, you know, you can also look at the offensive lineman left on the board then, too. Look at an Andrus Peat out of Stanford if he's still there. Look at a Lael Collins out of LSU if he's there. And you can find other good players at 15 and pick up a third or a second-round pick later. I think that makes sense, Randy.
Right, that's what I was just going to say, because you can fill two needs at one, and you don't necessarily – I know everybody's high on Sheriff, and listen, I absolutely love the guy. He just looks like a New York Giant, and I'm like, you know, I'm hoping that they get him. But if Cooper's on the board, you got to take him. You listen, you guys have a great day. Have a nice weekend. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the phone call.
Hey, appreciate Randy, call. Thank you for being
Thanks
part
so much,
of the
Randy.
Show, man. We wouldn't have one orders for fans like you listening and paying attention.
On the topic of moving around in terms of the draft,
yes.
These two tweets in relation to Randy's last call, Giants Nation at Big Blue Beckham, he already has the Cleveland Browns on the phone. And he says, I say we move back to pick 12, Cleveland's in that spot, and get an extra pick and get Landon Collins. That's his perspective. Then Saul Torres at L1LK Killer.
Why are the Browns drafting and moving up, though? They got two picks in the first round.
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, you have Cleveland in terms of right now at the 12th spot and the 19th spot. That's the pick they got from Buffalo with the Sammy Watkins.
And I am not sold that the Browns are going to pick a quarterback.
I would agree.
I don't think they can bail on Johnny Manziel yet. Hopefully, hey, look, all the jokes aside about Johnny Manziel and people like to make fun, hopefully the kid's going to turn his life around, going into rehab. Hopefully he's going to get better, and hopefully he has a good career. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a little immature, and he's made some mistakes. And look, you always want to see these guys succeed. You don't want to see guys fail, so you hope that he can turn things around. I don't think the Browns are ready to completely turn the page on him yet. I don't think that's fair.
I think they have enough depth there. You may say that there's not a playmaker in that group, but there's enough guys to foster competition this offseason.
Sure.
I don't think they need to spend another high pick. They have other needs, such as giving the quarterback talent around him. How about that? They did lose a number of wide receivers the last time I checked, even though they did bring in Dwayne Bowen, Brian Hartline. I think that there's room to bring in another young guy. Another tweet related to perhaps the Giants looking at a trade or moving down or up. Saul Torres, as I mentioned, saying if Cooper and Scherfer there at 9, you have to take the wide receiver in his mind. You can take a starting guard or a tackle in the second and the third round. Now, if you go back to last year's draft, they got a starting caliber offensive lineman in Weston Richburg, who was a high second round pick. So we've seen that in the past. Depending on how the Giants evaluate Scherf compared to the rest of the group, they may feel that way again, where come the second round, there's an offensive lineman that they're eyeing, and they feel that they can take that offensive lineman in the second round and maybe go for, once again, that best possible playmaker at number 9. So, you know, if Cooper's there, it's going to make, I'm sure, the conversation in the war room 10 times more interesting for the New York Giants, John.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe the Giants scouts like, you know, White better than Cooper. Who knows?
It's possible.
They could. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing with White, and I think White's a great playmaker. I guess you need to be somewhat concerned, or at least observe whether or not the system that he's in is going to translate well to the NFL, whereas, you know, most people who've watched football say what Alabama runs should be able to translate well to the National Football League
compared to perhaps
what West Virginia has to offer.
201-939-4513, and that's, in the end, why I would go Cooper. I think he's
and
a much more polished wide receiver, even though he might not have the 40 time or have the, you know, the shuttle time and things like that. I think Cooper is the better football
player. And John, look at Tavon Austin. I think Austin could very well be a big-time playmaker down the road. Right now, you look at how the Rams are utilizing him. He's more of a special teamer than necessarily an every-down wide receiver. Now, who knows? 2 or 3 years from now, we could be talking about how Austin is their every-down wide receiver type. But, you know, he's more of a jack-of-all-trades type of player as opposed to somebody who fits a specific slot.
Austin much smaller than Kevin White, too. But
true.
I see your point. He's coming out of a spread system in college. You have to make that adjustment. Absolutely, 100%. Joe in Pennsylvania has been holding the longest. Joe, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com with Johnny Schmelk and Lance Metal. What's up, pal?
Hi, guys. Great to talk to you. I was looking there, seeing here, we don't have no glaring needs, I don't think. Safety's the biggest one, I think. And there wasn't really nobody in free agency. New England had theirs, and they signed them. And I know the Eagles are after one big, and they cut their both cornerbacks. This just shows it. And New England and Seattle picked them up, and right now they're their starting cornerbacks from the Eagles. If we would pick them up and sign them, Len would say we're shopping at Walmart. So seriously. So, but I was just looking, and I called yesterday, John, and I told you about Nassif. I don't want to get rid of him. But I really think now's the time, if we have a chance, and maybe I was up too high, say, in the second, the third round or so, to look for a backup quarterback now, because I want to keep Nassif, but I don't think we're going to be able to if he shows anything. And I think if we pick up this backup quarterback now, I love our offensive coordinator and where he's going. How long is he under contract for, John, you know?
Nassif will be here for 2 more years, which is why I'm not sure you need to move in and get another backup quarterback. Yeah. If you want to talk about this next year, if Ryan Nassif, you know, shows you a lot in the preseason, you know, knock on wood, gets into a regular season game, you hope not, Eli Manning stays healthy, and he blows up and the league is all psyched about Ryan Nassif, then, yeah, maybe next year's draft, Joe, I would say, yeah, maybe you want to, you know, get your next backup.
I'm saying next year we ain't going to be up there and have the chance. I think we have the chance and we can afford it. I look back on them drafts. George Young, he came up, he had the guts and everything. He went Phil Simms from Morehead State. Hey, won the Super Bowl. Then who was the last general manager we had that pick went up, gave up how many draft picks for Eli?
Ernie Accorsi.
Right. He did it there. He showed his guts. You got to give up number ones and everything. I think we are in a position to get a backup quarterback now because Nassib, if he shows anything, in 2 years he's going to be gone. Then we're going to be picked. There was nothing in free agency this year in backup quarterbacks or nothing. If we can get one now and groom them and keep them, let's keep them all because they're going to be worth money. If we do pick up a backup quarterback, can he stay? Can he go to the practice squad for the first year and nobody sign him off?
Nope. If you try to sneak anybody onto the practice squad, he can get signed by other teams. So he's going to have to be on the active roster, which means three quarterbacks, which means you lose a roster spot. Joe, well, I get where you're coming from. I just don't think it's happening this year. What else you got?
I think now's the time, but I just think it is.
Well, Joe, I don't think there's that urgency factor.
Appreciate it, my friend.
I appreciate the phone call. I would agree with you, John. I think that you have the comfort of Ryan Nassib being under contract.
He's good.
You don't have to worry about making a move. And Joe's concern about if Nassib shows something, well, you know, let's keep this in mind. The last time that a team went aggressively after a backup quarterback who didn't have a big resume was Matt Flynn. And Matt Flynn got a lot of money, and it didn't necessarily work out very well for the Seattle Seahawks.
Didn't necessarily
well,
work out.
Well, I'm putting that kindly, I guess. Yes.
It was a disaster.
So, now, part of it was because he was injured. He had the elbow injury, too. That's why Russell Wilson won the starting gig.
Right.
But I don't think there's a lot of teams out there, John, that are in a position where they're going to throw a lot of money at a backup quarterback who had limited reps in the preseason and hasn't had many opportunities in the regular season.
Right, and at least Matt Flynn had a regular season game where he performed well.
Correct.
It was just one, and I think people jumped to too many conclusions.
Well, it was that Lions
that game.
Remember that?
They threw for 400-something
Correct.
Yards.
It was
like, oh, maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't that good. See what Matt Flynn could do, which,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
You have to put things in perspective.
You're not just going to, you know, someone's not going to come hard after Ryan Nassib because a couple good meaningless performances against, you know, third and fourth stringers in preseason games in August. It's just not going to happen. Maybe you'll get a chance in a regular season game if Eli gets hurt again. You hope that doesn't happen, but I don't think you need to look at the backup quarterback.
What?
You have Nassib on the roster. That's why he's here. I had people complaining why they waste a pick on Nassib 2 years ago. Now they want to draft another quarterback.
Well, and here's the other part of the equation. Eli Manning, nobody knows the window for how many more years, John, that he wants to play. So let's say you bring in another backup quarterback. By the time his rookie contract expires, for all we know, Eli Manning is still the starting quarterback. So you brought in another backup quarterback. Ryan Nassib's rookie deal expired. The next rookie's deal expired. You're back to square one. You may need another quarterback that you need to draft. I think you're planning so far in advance. The Giants, they'll make a move at the quarterback position once they know and they have a solid feel on exactly the timetable for Eli Manning to perhaps hang it up. And right now, that's extremely premature.
And they'll figure that out if they come to a long-term contract extension or if, you know, comes to free agency next year and they franchise him or whatever they end up doing with Eli Manning, then they'll have a better idea. But, again, too early to make that type of move, I think, this year. Sam in Washington, D.C. is up next. Sam, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well, Sam. How are you?
Hey, doing great. In my opinion, if I had the keys to the Giant Kingdom for a day, I wish Cooper or White would be there so we could get more value for the trade for the pick. I mean, if you look at the Reese era so far, I mean, you go back just to 2013, and when we picked Justin Pugh, there was another guy on the board named DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is kind of good.
Yeah, he's turned out solid.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, DeAndre Hopkins has been a good, solid young wide receiver that's still getting better. I agree.
Exactly, however, you gotta when you look back at our Super Bowl victories and those seasons, I think the commonality between those seasons is we've won the battle in the trenches. And I tell you what, now with speculation that Atlanta may take Sheriff because hey, they got two wide receivers on their team, and I think if you look back at their season last year, they're not saying, "Boy, I wish we had more wide receivers, or else we would have made the Super Bowl." So if they take Sheriff, I hope that we do have a Cooper or a White on the board where another team is willing to pretty much pay a high value to take our pick and then probably in the later on in the same pretty much round or wherever we take somebody at a good value who's pretty much a plug-and-play type of a player.
Well, Sam, I think you bring up an excellent point. It's good to have options. And the more players that are available when the Giants pick at number 9, they can either take a playmaker or they can get and field a lot of calls from around the league and say, hey, guys, you want to shop around and you want to move up? We're all ears.
And I think also, Sam, not only are wide receivers often a target for teams trying to trade up, and I think you make a great point, they are. We saw that with Sammy Watkins last year when the Bills traded up for him. I think you also see a situation, what if Marcus Mariota's still there at 9? I mean, I don't think there's a great chance that's going to happen. He could go at 2. He could go at 6. Maybe someone will move up ahead of the Giants to take him. Any one of those things are a possibility. But if you have the wide receiver, and let's say you have Mariota there at 9, you're going to have teams calling you trying to make a move, and maybe you can get some great value for that pick. Pick up, even if you don't pick up an extra pick this year, maybe you pick up an extra pick in next year's draft. Whatever you do, it could pay dividends down the road, 100%.
Agreed. And taking a quarterback, referencing the last caller, would be not the smartest move. I mean, not everybody has the advantage of having a Favre-Rodgers transition, a Bledsoe, Brady transition. And if you look at those guys, I mean, Rodgers was picked in what, the 2nd round? And Brady was picked in the 7th round, not even projected to be who he is today. So, you know, and this is merely speculation. Of course, we don't know when these guys are going to get picked, but definitely there are teams who are shopping for a QB. And if they're willing to give us a good deal at 9 and we don't see anybody within the trenches, I would say on the flip side, you know, we know Dante Flowers is not going to be there. I mean, that's pretty much a taken, and Leonard Williams is not going to be there. So we don't have a prospect at a 4-3 defensive end that you could say, hey, I'll pull the trigger at a 9. I'm with Paul. I don't like these tweener guys. Why not? Hey, let's see if we could get some value in return and probably pick a safety later on in the 1st round or whatever the case may be with that extra pick. I'll take the rest of you guys' comments on there. Good show. I appreciate you guys, and go Giants.
All right, Sam. Thanks so much for the phone call. One clarification, Aaron Rodgers was actually a 1st-round pick. He went later than most people anticipated, but he was a 1st-round pick.
27?
2005.
24th.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the number,
yeah. I was thinking
yeah.
The number. 24.
Yeah. He was waiting, if you remember, in the room, and everybody thought he was going to go much sooner. But I agree with the point that Sam brought up in terms of there have been a number of good quality starting quarterbacks that have gone in later rounds who have developed. Russell Wilson, for example, was a 3rd round during the year where all of those quarterbacks flourished out of that rookie class before, obviously, RG3 got banged up. In terms of the Giants and, you know, the debate at number 9, do you go for biggest need? Do you go for best value? Sam was talking about how the fact that when you take a tweener, there's always a risk involved, and I would agree. And that's why I'm sure the Giants are going to explore their options. When you're up this high, you're probably going to get a lot more chatter out of other teams than when you're later in the 1st round, which is where the Giants have been more often than not, especially when they're winning Super Bowls. But when you're up in the top 10, you know, this is where you get a little bit more interest, not in terms of just from players that are going to want to join your team, but teams that are going to say, hey, you know what, maybe you guys want to move down because you don't necessarily need a wide receiver or you don't necessarily need this position that we would like to take at number 9. And I always say that's a good position to be in. I think that's going to obviously bring about a lot of conversation in and around the draft.
201-939-4513. Rich wants to know, what is the draft value points for the 9th pick? Would be interested in the Saints' 14th and 31st picks. And I think, I'm happy you brought this up. A lot of people have been throwing out, I think, a word, unrealistic trade scenarios. The Giants' 9th pick is worth 1,350 points, okay? The 14th pick, which the Saints have, is worth 1,100. And the 31st pick is 600. So the Giants would be getting almost 250 more points in value in a trade like that. The bottom line here, if the Giants are going to move down, let's say theoretically, I'm going to pick a random spot. Let's say they move down to the 16th pick, which is right in the middle of the 1st round. That's 350 points. 350 points is equal to a late 2nd round pick or a mid 2nd round pick. So to move down around 6 spots, you're probably trying to get a 2 if it's 6 or more. But if you're looking at, you know, 2 or 3 spots, you're looking at more like a 3rd round pick to move down 2 or 3 spots. That's basically kind of the way it adds up math-wise. And again, this is a generic chart based on how the draft is in terms of talent will affect, I think, how teams value these picks specifically. every year in terms of how the talent falls and where the drop-off in talent is. So just something to keep in mind.
And the other thing to keep in mind, John, and I brought this up on previous shows, you know, you could also have a player, a veteran that's involved in a trade too if you move down. It doesn't necessarily have to be one draft pick for a few draft picks. Perhaps they could also get an established player at a position that they may want to add depth, or they may want to add a legitimate starter. That's certainly always an option. We've seen players moved on draft day as well. It's not just necessarily all about just swapping numbers, and it becomes a numbers game with that type of situation.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes was on with us yesterday, or was it 2 days ago, Shakes? You were very short. I was expecting more out of you.
I know I had to throw y'all off a little bit. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy? How are
we doing, Shakes?
I'm good, man. I'm in a lot of disagreements with a lot of folks here.
Okay, what do you got for us?
I'm glad that y'all said that about Amari Cooper, but I believe it was the last caller. That's what he said is what kind of upsets me, man, because if Cooper or White is there, to me, I don't think you hesitate or even try to make a move to trade down or anything. You take that special player. Got to take that special player.
Well, then, now, assuming...
I'm with everybody. It's options, and we got a whole lot of options, especially if players are not there.
Absolutely.
To move back and do stuff. But like I'm saying, if it's a special guy right there, smack dead in your face, you run to the podium and you take that guy.
Well, again, that's assuming, Shakes, that the Giants believe those two guys are special. Now, I think everybody in this league is going to think Amari Cooper is special based on his tape. I have a hard time believing that people don't think he's going to be a very good wide receiver. But I could see teams being a little hesitant on White because of the reason that Lance mentioned. He's a guy transitioning from a spread offense in college, and it sometimes takes some time for those types of players to make that move to the NFL. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And plus, I think it's only like 1 year of production really out of him.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. His upside is just so high. and he can, he can just outleap everybody. Like, he's a freak. So I just don't think you pass up on a guy like that. The thing about Scherf, I like Scherf. And I don't want people to misconstrue me on that neither. But I think that at 9, I think it's going to be far more other players that are better than him that could be had. And that's why I wouldn't want to take Scherf at 9. I believe Scherf is a guy that should be taken in the teens, along with Lyle Collins and the rest of those guys. I don't think it's much of a difference between those guys.
Well, the consensus seems to be that Scherf is a level above them. And Shakes, just in terms of upside, maybe not. But in terms of safety, people have called Scherf, and I've seen it from multiple people that study this stuff a lot, they've called him the safest pick in the draft. Even if you put him at guard or tackle, he's going to be very safe. You know what you're getting. He can change the whole demeanor of your offensive line. He's a nasty blue-collar guy. He's a mauler. All the type of stuff that Giant fans want out of their offensive lineman. Now, if you don't value him as an evaluator, and again, I don't know what the Giants front office thinks. Maybe they agree with me. Maybe they agree with you. Maybe they don't agree with either of us. Who knows?
If
they're with you and they don't evaluate him much higher than those other guys like Lyle Collins, like Andrews Pete, like the Clemens kid attack, all those other guys that are going later in the round.
So then
let him drop. Then you're right. Let him drop, and you pick a player that you think is going to be a real difference maker that you can't get later on. But it all depends on how you evaluate him.
Okay. I got another question for y'all, though.
We're going to cut you off at 4 questions. We're keeping count, Shakes, just so you know.
Okay.
Continue.
I got to make up for the last call.
I hear you.
No, I believe that one of our weaknesses was stopping a run in the middle. Now, I seen that we went in on a D-line, and we went and got Selvey and a big guy, Ellis.
Yep.
So we concentrating on stopping the run, and I get that point. But linebacker-wise, and we got JT Thomas, but all right, whatever. I'll give y'all that. What my point is there's a lot of middle linebackers in this draft that could be had in the second or third round that can stuff the run. So what do you think about that? Do you think middle linebacker is out of the question in the second and third round?
No, not at all. I think if you find the middle linebacker and you're talking about, I think, I don't have the list in front of me. You can talk about Kendricks as a guy that can do that. Perryman, the kid out of Miami, can do that. And there's one other name that that's escaping me. McKinney's another guy that's out there that can do that.
I like him. But Stephon Anthony.
Yeah, Stephon Anthony's another guy that can do that sure. No, you're right. And I think Dawson's a little small. I think he's more of the sideline to sideline type, though, shakes. And you're right. I think if you get to the second or third round, you see a middle linebacker that you think can be your middle linebacker for years down the road, yeah, sure, why not? If you think he's the best player there, you pick him. And then you think about this down the road. You got whoever you draft the middle linebacker. There. You got Devon Kennard at the strong side. Then you got JT Thomas on the weak side. I think that's a pretty good, solid young linebacking core right there.
And, Shakes, I wouldn't just focus on middle linebacker. I would just say linebacker. I could see them going after a linebacker, period, because it never hurts to add depth at that position. Another guy I throw out, by the way, is a Paul Dawson out of TCU. You named the other three or four, you and John. Dawson's another one in that 3-4 round range.
And, Chase, out of curiosity, I know you were big on him early in the process. Do you still see Shaq Thompson as a linebacker, or do you see him more as a safety?
Yeah, I still see him as a linebacker, but I believe that you can use him at safety in packages as well. So that's what my next question to y'all was. If he dropped to the second round, do y'all think we should snatch him up?
In the second round, and I've seen a lot of Giant fans on Twitter, I was going to get to these later, but I'll address it now. Had talked about trying to trade down and draft Shaq Thompson in the first round. From my taste, I think that's a little risky when you don't know what position he's going to play. But if he's in the second round, Shakes, I think that's the type of guy, because of his ceiling, and it's so high because of his football acumen, his athleticism, his toughness, his game tape in college. I think in the second round you take him, and then you can figure out in the spring and summer where to play him. And even if it doesn't, you know, click until week 6, 7, or 8, and that's when you move him into the starting lineup, if he's ready then, I think that's fine. I would have no issues taking him in the second round, none at all.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for taking my call, y'all. I appreciate it, man.
You got it, Chase.
I'll talk to y'all next week.
Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
I think Shaq Thompson in the second round is intriguing. I'm not sure he's going to get there because I think another team – you know I could see picking him? The Ravens. You know, the Ravens are so good fitting guys into that defense. You know, maybe they think he can play the inside linebacker in their 3-4 where you don't have to really take on blockers as much. Maybe they think they can, you know, use him the way Nat Burhey was used in college as that, you know, Aztec hybrid linebacker safety spot. I could see – it just feels like something the Ravens would do.
They are just good with those tweeners. No, I think that's an excellent point to bring up. You look at the Giants, if you want to go to this team for an example, you know, Devon Kennard, he was a late-round pick, and he was sort of that in-between player who you could use on both lines. So, obviously, there was a great pick, and there's a tremendous amount of upside, but he went in the late rounds. Do you read into that to determine how the Giants feel about players that fall into that mix? I don't know if you could take away much. I'm just throwing that out perhaps as an example. But I would agree. I think there are certain teams that have a track record of taking chances in the higher rounds with players who sort of fit the mold of an in-between type of guy.
Maybe the 49ers. They've lost all the linebackers. Steve Borland and Willis. Again, I'm not sure if they see Shaq Thompson as a linebacker. They might see him more as a safety. But I think the Niners are a team that, you know, it's hard to say a team that's, you know, been so good is not in a win-now mode, but I feel like with the new head coach, they're trying to retool a little bit. Not rebuild, but retool. I could see that being a potential pick. Heck, I could even see the Seahawks doing something with that.
They're very
good. Maybe
taking
he can,
chance
you know,
on guys.
Be the heir apparent to Cam Chancellor. I'm not sure he hasn't signed a long-term extension yet, right?
Chancellor has.
He has signed a long-term extension.
Yeah, they're
extension.
Both locked up. Chancellor and Thomas are locked up.
And obviously Richard Sherman.
And Richard Sherman,
so
yeah.
All three of those guys are locked up long-term.
Locked up, yeah.
I forgot, how much money did Chancellor get?
I think he got a lot of money. I'm
I
safe
think,
to at least
right?
say that. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head.
Look
I'll try to look it up here.
I'm curious. 201.
But yeah, both of them are locked up.
939-4513. Yes, and he wouldn't fit there because Bobby Wagner is an excellent middle linebacker. But for some reason, I just feel like it's a Ravens thing to do. I could be wrong. Let's go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's up, pal? Drew.
Guys, how you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
How you guys doing, man?
Doing well.
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good, man. Hey, man, you guys pretty much answered my question, man, but I want to go back.
Well, that's
to,
good. Let's end the call and move on. Next.
Well, yeah, we could do that, but I would at least like to hear my voice.
Not a
my
problem. We'll let you talk for about 3 seconds. What do you got?
What do you got,
thanks,
Drew?
Sir. Well, I think I passed that. But, no, going back to this, to Joe's point, man, you know, what am I missing here? Because I don't understand why we want to, you know, get rid of Nassib. you know, the league, you know, my take is, okay, you know, a lot of teams get themselves in trouble because they don't have an adequate backup quarterback in case something happens. Now, you know, this is a performance-driven league, and anybody can be hurt at any given time. Thankfully, that hasn't happened to Eli Manning, okay? But, okay, let's just say something happens, and, you know, Matt Nassif have to step in. You know, am I missing something here? Because I'm thinking that Nassif is about as ready as he's going to be. Yeah, he's not going to be able to get in and play anytime soon. But, you know, I think if something happens to Eli, I think Nassif would be adequate to step in. And for us to go ahead and trade Nassif because, oh, well, we're scared and, you know, we probably could get more picks and everything. I mean, yeah, that might be a short-term game, but in the long term, you know, when Eli moves on or whatever, then what are we going to have?
Drew, to me, you
explain that to me.
Yeah, but Drew, to me, you knocked that out of the park. You drafted Nassib to be a reliable backup to Eli Manning and maybe one day replace him if he has to. You know, but if Eli plays another 4 or 5 years with the Giants, that, you know, then that's probably not going to be the case. But you trained him and you drafted him to be a good backup. You wanted a young guy to develop. Well, guess what? You've developed the young guy. You've reached your objective. He's ready to be the backup. So why get rid of him? I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, and that's my thing. You know, now, like you said, on the flip side, you know, which kind of, you know, to me sucks for a backup quarterback, quote unquote, is, you know, when you have a when you have a guy as reliable as a Eli Manning, then on the flip side, you may never get a chance to play. You know, so that kind of, I'm sure, you know, that kind of sucks for Nassif because I'm sure, especially for as long as he's been in the league and you know, sitting there and learning, you know, what the Giants do and everything, I'm sure he would be, you know, good to showcase
Drew,
his skills.
Not to cut you off,
get rid of him.
I'll let you continue. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. He was brought up earlier in the program. He sat behind Brett Favre the first few years, and it did wonders for him. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for a guy like Ryan Nassib to see what Eli Manning does in the classroom, watch his practice regimen. To me, it's only going to make him a better guy perhaps down the road when he does get a starting opportunity.
Well, yeah, that's my point. And, you know, I mean, another person to me that I kind of look at is Steve Young sitting behind Montana.
Good point. Yeah, absolutely. There's a number of guys.
Right. So, yeah, I was just kind of – and like I said, you touched on it too, but to me that absolutely makes no sense. I mean, there is a sliver of a pro and con I could see, but – at this point in time, I think in the long term, that's what I'm saying, I think we're kind of, you know, hurting ourselves by doing that. But on the flip side, you know, how long does Eli Manning have left? And, you know, somewhere, I think you said, what, within 2 years we got to do something with Nassif anyway? Is that what you said?
Well, he was drafted in 2013, so most rookie deals are 4 years under the new CBA.
Okay.
So you do the math. You have some time, but when obviously he gets towards the latter stage of his contract, they'll have to evaluate their options.
Yeah, all right, yeah, that's pretty much it. As far as, and you know, just my last question, and I know this has been beat up and down, you know, because I see holes on both sides, defense and offensively. But, you know, for biggest need, would you go offense or defense? And I'll just leave. I'll take that answer off the air.
Thanks, Drew.
You guys take care.
You got it, Drew. Thanks so much.
I still think, based off of last season, where this team needs to make the biggest improvement is defense. And I think they've added some pieces to help that so far, but I still think they need to get a little bit better. Now, some people would argue, well, you got to get the offensive line better, and I get that. But I think overall I would probably say off of last season where the team needs to get the most improvement is on the defensive side.
Oh, the numbers show that, John. I think it's a no-brainer. I would agree with you. I think defense is priority number one. I understand offensive line is going to get a lot of discussion over the last few years, mainly because, you know, the Giants weren't where they would like to be in terms of the running game. Pass protection did improve if you look at what transpired during the 2013 season compared to the 2014 season. You know, the numbers improved in terms of sacks allowed and so forth, and if they could add more depth at that offensive line position, it will certainly help the team in the long run. But, you know, defense, there were issues in terms of stopping the pass. There were issues in terms of stopping the run. And the more playmakers that they can bring in that Spags can toy with, I think would certainly help the numbers in 2015.
Wow, 1 o'clock really snuck up on us. I want to get these two calls in. I guess we're going to go a little bit late. I didn't realize it was 1 o'clock already. Wow. I guess we're having a good show.
Time flies by
fast
when you're having fun.
Let's go to Rolando in Queens next. Rolando, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, John? How you doing, Lance?
Well, Rolando, how's everything with you?
Good, bro. I'm just excited with the fact that we did so well with our free agent. We hit on so many marks prior to the season in terms of addressing the offensive line, the defensive line, the wide receiver, the running back, the linebackers, that it got us in such a great position in this draft that we have options in terms where we can draft down or pick the best available guy there. And when we started this season, I think I thought we had maybe 6 to 7 needs that I thought we were just going to address in the draft. Now we only need one, and that's safety. And another thing I want to touch upon is that I think we already have the guard on team. Johnny, I think that Newhouse would be the perfect fit for left guard.
He's never played guard before, though, Ro. He's never played guard before.
Okay, hold it, bro. We always talk about how offensive linemen always know more than one position. And since he can man the left tackle and the right tackle, and mostly the fact that he's played under McAdoo's system, that to me, given that you're putting Rich Byrne there, a young man who's going to man a position that he might need assistance, that I think Newhouse has the intelligence, after seeing the interview you had with him, he has the intelligence that I think he can make the transition to guard, that even if he plays guard there this year and learn how to play that, you have an experienced veteran who can assist the center. And Smith and the other guard could help him. That the center might not be a negativity. We're coming from a positive area, and we decide. Say next year we decide we want to get rid of Beattie. I'm touching on Lance in terms of future cap hits. Now we just slide him over. We slide him over, and he's already accustomed to the left side, which he already played there before. I also believe that we're talking about something that we're actually doing all the time, and we're just sometimes we get a little bit negative about it, and that's the development of the quarterback, where we're doing actually what we're always saying, we're developing a quarterback.
Yeah.
And the thing that I keep hearing from you and Anita and everybody else, Nasbeck is doing his due diligence. He's in there studying. He's there busting his, you know what?
He did, absolutely. And he improved from 2013 to 14. It showed in the preseason.
Right. To me, that's the guy I'm hoping for to step up. Last year, I was praying that Beattie does it because of cap number, and he did. And Eli, that he didn't, you know, wasn't on his downside, and he also stepped up. This year, I'm hoping Nesbitt, the Montre Moore, I messed up sometimes.
That's okay.
No, it's all right. Rolando, you've taken names to a whole other level on this program. I mean, I'm impressed.
Hey, bro, that's why I have you guys there.
Yeah.
If I get it right, then we won't need you guys there. I know you guys are good looking, but yeah, I'm going to need them. Anyhow, and also, what's his name? Jay Bromley.
Yeah.
Hey, that was textbook. There was no correction there. You aced that test.
Hey, this is a labor man, okay? You guys are college guys, but I'm not. Okay, I got one more to go.
Barely. Yeah, barely.
In terms of addressing Randy and trading down, I agree with that. And one of the things that I believe that we, not only can we trade down one time, I think we can trade down two times and see what we have there. And you guys touched upon it before that there'll be several positions in which we could address even trading down, and that's the tight end with a Max Williams, a guy who can play, you know, receiver and blocker, and also maybe get Collins. And then in terms of future, in terms of getting a defensive tackle, because John mentioned how many times this there's a strong defensive tackle, and I think we could still get a guard in the third round. Thank you so much.
All right,
for
Orlando.
Thanks, bro.
Appreciate it.
Well, he touched on a million things.
Oh, boy,
did he ever. I'm not sure I can knock out all those things. And we're running out of time. We're already at 105, so I'm going to just jump to Len. Or do something you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to add real quickly that Newhouse had limited experience at right guard.
That's my fault.
During
I forgot
the course
about
of his
that.
Career. No problem. Just for clarification purposes. Very limited, though. I mean, I have his breakdown in front. Most of his playing time, obviously, was at left tackle and right tackle. But picking up on Orlando's point, has had limited experience at right guard. So I don't think transitioning is going to be an issue, considering he's had some comfort there. But tackle has been his primary position during the course of his NFL career.
Leonard Maryland, let's wrap us up, big man. How are you?
Okay, doing good. Listen, I won't stay on long. I know we're over time, and I appreciate you taking my call.
No problem.
Great show today. I got motivated to call in. I mean, and I called in late. So
well, that means it was a bad show on our part then, if we motivated you to call in. But anyway.
Okay. You know, the most overused word so far, and I'm overusing it myself, the most overused word amongst fans this time of the year is the word value. Do we know what the heck we're talking about?
In regards to what, Len?
What is value to the Giants?
A good player.
How do they define it? I mean, how should we? Everybody seems to – we love that word. We're throwing it out there like it's – everybody understands the meaning. I'm not sure we understand even when the Giants talk about it, what it really means. It's easier to – I think you used Kennard earlier in the show – It's easier to measure value a year after the draft.
Oh,
than
absolutely!
It is to try to determine value before the draft,
of course.
I mean, Kennard was great value.
Right.
He was great value because the benefits we derived from him, minus the spot he was drafted in the draft, fifth round. When you do the arithmetic, it's pretty. The value is pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, basically the way it works, Len, you drafted Kennard in the fifth round, but he played like either a first or a second round pick, so that's great value.
That's great value.
Right.
Now, how do we define? I mean, that's easy to do. Huh? I mean, we look at it later.
Of course.
Beckham, unbelievable value.
Of course.
Right. But how do you measure value before the draft, John?
It's very hard. You know, basically, all you're doing is projecting what these guys are going to be. So that's why, to me, you pick the guy you think is going to be the best, and you worry about those other things later.
Well, true. So,
Len, I don't mean to cut you off. You could say the same thing, though, in free agency. When you give out a deal to a player, I mean, how do you come up with that number? I mean, granted, you have some competition.
It's the market.
But, you base it on a number of different factors. So I think it's the same thing with the draft. You look at the college tape. You look at how he projects to the NFL. You talk to him in the interview. That's how you gauge value.
And then you make a determination who is the best person available at that particular spot in the draft.
Right.
Okay? I don't think that's far enough, John. I think you have to take into consideration position played. Look, left tackle versus right guard. Quarterback versus tight end. Wide receiver versus running back. I mean, some of these positions are of higher value in the NFL today than they were than they have been in the past.
I agree with that. That's fair.
How about the importance of the position to the team?
I think that's fair. I don't disagree with that.
If you look at the Giants, how much importance have linebackers, tight ends, and fullbacks been in the last 3 to 4 years? I mean, we always argue about we never have any linebackers. How about looking at the weakness on this team? I mean, where are the weaknesses? You know, obviously what's come up in the past has been offensive line, particularly offensive guard and safety.
Len, I think my point, though, is that you can win in this league a lot of different ways. There are a lot of different ways to, you know, skin a cat. The Seahawks have won won a Super Bowl and got the Super Bowl last year, and their wide receivers have been okay. They haven't been great. You know, last year the Patriots won in part because they had a great running back that could get passes out of the backfield. They had a great corner in Darrell Revis. So I think there are different ways to win. I mean, the Seahawks structure when they won just 2 years ago is very different than what the Patriots structure was last year. So I think the way you do it, you get the best player possible, and then you build your team around the talents that your players have. So, yes, in theory, in abstract, is the best left tackle in the league maybe more valuable than the best guard in the league? Yeah, I think that's probably true. And you can judge that based on the contracts that they get.
Right,
but when you're picking there at nine, do you say, well, I want to pick a tackle here, even though he might be a B-plus player, when I can get a guard that's an A-plus player? I think that's where you get into dangerous territory. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think – well, for me personally, I don't think it's as dangerous as you make it out. And what I'm leading up to here is I would like to see the Giants go offensive line on that first pick.
Okay.
And you know, if you're going to do any, if you're going to do a value thing, do it on the offensive line. You know, there's four or five guys there. Rank them one through five. Who's ever available, pick them. Go offensive line. Let's plug a need. Personally, I think Scherf is going to be there. I just think he's going to be there. I mean, I've written down 10 guys who I think, you know, are going to go. And if anybody slips, it's going to be one of the quarterbacks, probably Mariota.
Yeah, Len, and I agree. And one of the callers said earlier, the team that scares you with Scherf is the Falcons, because they've had offensive line issues the last couple of years. They tried to address their defense last year a lot in the draft.
Well, they need to help the pass rush again, too.
And they need to help that again. Yeah. But I think that's the dangerous team when it comes to Scherf. It's the Falcons. And frankly, the Bears might be dangerous, too.
Prediction on the Falcons.
Yes.
There's no way Pete gets past the Falcons. No way.
No, remember, they have a young tackle, though, in Jake Matthews there.
They just drafted him.
Yeah, so I'm not sure they're going to pick another tackle that early.
Well, okay. My opinion, again.
That's fair.
My guess is no way Pete gets past. I think Scherf's going to be there. I also like Collins. Listen, I'm sorry I called so late.
That's
great
right,
show
Len.
Today. I got motivated to call in.
Thanks,
it's really,
bud.
Really a good one.
Appreciate it.
Thank
Len.
You.
Thanks so much.
Have a great weekend.
You too. As well.
Couple tweets. Couple fans are upset we didn't mention Danny Shelton as a potential pick at nine. He's one of the probably the top defensive tackle on the board after Leonard Williams. Big freakish athlete, 340 pounds, can move, so people like him. And Bud Dupree is someone that Shane Hall brought up. You know, right now he's more of a mid to late round pick, but he's one of the guys that I think can actually be a 4-3 defensive end. So those are a couple twos that I wanted to mention. And Joe at JCS02008 said Scherf feels like last year's Eric Ebron, and I will say that I think Scherf's a much safer pick than Eric Ebron. And by the way, the Lions have talked this offseason. They really think Ebron's going to have a really big second year. And they said Joe Lombardi's system can be a little complicated, and they felt it was a little difficult for him to adjust to it.
And
as
he
a
was
pro.
Hurt, too.
But again, that you can also qualify those as excuses. So we'll see how Ebron does in year number two. Remember, you don't need your draft to be a star in year one. If he's there in year two or year three, that's fine, too. That's
you want to get
works.
The most out of him, yes, during the course of that rookie contract. So if that happens in year two, year three, hey, that's great. On the topic of Ryan Nassib, a tweet, I think Ben Gruen summarized it best. At least Giants fans, I think, all across the board would agree with this sentiment. Best case scenario, Nassib gets to play because the Giants are up 28 points in the fourth quarter. Would love to see that like in 2008. And that's the goal. Keep Eli Manning healthy. Keep him upright. And Ryan Nassib can continue to be groomed in the classroom and continue to take those practice reps. I mean, that's the ideal situation for a backup quarterback. You never want the backup quarterback to be in the regular season in a meaningful game, because that obviously means something happened to your starter.
Lance, it's been fun. We'll see you
Absolutely.
In a week. Enjoy Chicago, my friend.
Thank you. Look forward to chatting with you 2 weeks from now.
All right, everybody. Good job. Thanks for calling in. Sorry for going late, but we had fun. Hope you did, too. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday on Giants.com. Take it easy, everyone.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown.